PAC meeting. And this afternoon we will go on with presenting proposals for closing and reopening projects. The next speaker will be Sergei Kulikov. Professor Kulikov will present actually two proposals. That's why he has a bit more time, altogether 45 minutes. Of the two proposals, there will be three common reviewers, and as usual, we will invite them, and will be their contribution, their review will be presented, and afterwards, short discussion. So please, Sergei, it's, the floor is yours. Okay.
Thank you very much, dear chairman, dear PAC members, the members of Directorate of Joint Institute of Anarcho Research. Let me start my presentation. It's a report of the closing FEM and the project and proposal for extension of the FEM for the next 3 years and to open a new project, development of a wide aperture detector for high resolution Fourier diffractometer. From the beginning, I would like to remind you the main results, which is planning to be on our FEM. Here are the main directions which where we worked for these 3 years. It's a development and construction of a control system for cold moderator of the Abertu reactor, the development and application of virtual instrument tools for simulation of different type of instruments, neutron instruments, and other software packages, equipment of Abertu spectrometers with detectors, which is important for our instruments, the development of pressure, temperature, and magnetic field sample environment system for diffractometer DN12. It's a project which I'll say a little bit more later. The development of data acquisition system, control systems, and actuating mechanisms of sample environment equipment and spectrometer choppers, and upgrading for sure the spectrometer software. And development of the Frank Laboratory network and information technology infrastructure for our own needs. And now I will remind you also the some results which have been done before and where we now with cold moderator developments for Abertu reactor. I remind you that here is a reactor core and three cold moderators is planning to be installed to satisfy the whole needs of neutron spectrometers on our reactor. The first moderator was start put in operation in 2012, and it's operate now, and for all these years it was in operation, and in this half a year it's 2 rounds of operation, successful for users, for instruments have been done. And now we working for next cold moderator. It's the same type of moderator as with filling by beads of mesophylline, but it's for additional 6 instruments, and then we will start work for the third cold moderator. The main problem or the main challenge for this new cold moderator for central direction is that we should deliver the beads to the to fill the moderator from very bottom on by inclined way. The difference here and here is about 4.8 meters, and for sure, it's everything have to be delivered on cryogenic conditions. Here is a project how it looks like inside this vacuum chamber and inside the cold moderator itself. And by pipeline, we are putting beads from outside of the reactor. So it's a complicated way, and during this time, we made the special mock-up. It's completely follow the paths of real path for beads to be delivered to the cold moderator. Here is a chamber which simulates the moderator. It's the special window, and we can look to on the cryogenic conditions to look to the beads to be delivered. And we made a lot of experiments and shown that it's possible to be delivered beads through this complicated geometry with our system. So it was integrated. and mock-up show good results. Now we are in the process of construction of new cold moderator, and next year we're planning to deliver it already to the reactor position. By the way, we made the new software and hardware system to control and to operate with new moderator, and now it is in the process of installation on a new position near the reactor. It's possible now to include two different cryogenic refrigerators to one system, and the special device, special cryostat, is designed to do such a things, and the special switchers here, which is possible to regulate the helium flow, and we are now with this system we are able to work with two cold moderators simultaneously. Now it's as I said already in the process of installation, but all equipment, I mean the electronics and hardware systems, from this point of view to control is already prepared to be checked on real conditions. On development and application of VTS software, the simulation of various flippers and spin echo spectrometers with constant and time-dependent magnetic fields had been successfully carried out with this software complex. And some models of different parts of spectrometers were added to this software complex, and some instruments were modeled for our needs. Control system and actuators, sample environment, equipment, and spectrometer choppers. At all spectrometers, we have modernized the control systems, so now it's more or less unified. The temperature control system based on Lakeshore controller with modernized interface converter from USB to RS485 have been added also for five instruments. We're still making some efforts to unify the whole equipment of our spectrometer, so it would be much easier to operate with them and take care about them. The number of control channels on each of our spectrometers has exceeded 32, that means step motors, where we're controlling some parameters of moving the detectors or whatever in our parameters. And now we are taking care about total number of instrument channels, it's about 200, more than 200. Here is presented the detector system for one of our instruments, DN6 diffractometers. In previous time, it was installed detector of 96 independent detectors, which have been done in our department. And now it was installed additional rings of 96 individual helium-free proportional counters. All of these detectors have been integrated in our self-made data acquisition system and software system, and now this diffractometer has 192 independent channels for data collection from the experiment. And for real-time diffractometer, in previous 3 years, we have been involved on making backscattering spectrometers, detectors tubes, helium tubes, position-sensitive detector, and now we were modeling and making and producing the new small angle detector. It's a helium ring detector, it's a new modernized type of it. Here is a photo of housing of the detectors, 9 independent coaxial rings is here. The new type of support of wire inside, so, and each of the ring is separated also for some independent channels. And here is with preamplifiers. You may see how it looks like. The preamplifiers installed inside the same volume. Now the detector already completed on laboratory for laboratory tests, and we made practically pre-final tests on our laboratory conditions. So it's prepared for September cycles to reactor run to go to put, move it to the spectrometer and to test already there with working mixture of gas. And it shows good results. Altogether, as I said already, it has 144 independent channels from cathodes and 9 independent detectors from anodes. So here's some spectra, and it's possible to take data easily from this detector, and it will be installed in real-time diffractometer, as I said. And it also integrated on our data acquisition system and software system package, which is operates with this diffractometer. We also developed some two-dimensional position-sensitive helium detectors. It's a multi-wire proportional counters. We installed them and integrated to the three instruments, and it worked now for these runs of instruments for users and for making the experiments on these instruments. We restart the work on of making the detectors from the scintillations, from solid converters. In former times, in 90s or beginning of 2000, some elements of Fourier stress diffractometers or the 90 degrees detectors have been made, and the spectrometers work, this diffractometer work very hard, and it was useful for the users, but it was only 6 detector elements, but it's necessary. The full project is 14, and we now a couple of years ago started this activity again. And firstly, we made for us the infrastructure which is necessary to produce and to calculate this type of detectors and to produce some detectors. And we start from a prototype. It's a special curved type of detectors because its surface has to follow the special focus time focusing surface for our diffractometer. And we made firstly one of elements of this detector, and then afterwards we put 8 such detectors already on spectrometers and put on operation. And the results here is a low resolution spectra and high resolution already from these detectors. But we saw that from these 20 years of exploitation of such types of detectors with that equipment, it's not now up to date, and decided to make the new detector because of the new radial collimator appeared, the very precise collimator, and now we are in the process of making the Astra M detector to follow this up to date needs and up to date hardware like different type of new photomultipliers and new suppliers from different types of parts of these detectors. We also started the activity on boron converters to use these boron 10 converters in the solid converter. We are in collaboration with ESS people from Lund, and we made the first prototype with position-sensitive monitor of the beam, and with mask of cadmium, we see good resolution. So it's just the first step on these directions, but it's important for us for special needs, especially for monitoring of the beam lines, and also it may be important for cold for monitoring and data collection from cold neutrons. We also started collaboration with our university, which in Dubna, which possess the equipment, the sputtering machine, and now we a little bit upgrading this machine, so I think in the future we will be available to make this converter here domestically. Some work have been done for FSS, Fourier stress spectrometer, for beam number 13. It was not occupied before the modernization of the reactor. It was empty place here. Now, together with two departments, we made this Fourier stress machine, which arrived to us from Geesthacht, but unfortunately it's a very old one, and we had to put the whole equipment with our new standards, with our new type of unified electronics and unified data manipulation with Fourier Fourier chopper and with goniometer and so on. Now it's work. It's show us the first preliminary results, very nice results, and the electronics, the detector system was put in our electronic systems at multi point data acquisition system, and software was put on operation as well for this diffractometer. So the old detectors described before and all equipment with unified blocks of analog and digital electronics and software developed in our department. The digital data acquisition system consists of two main blocks of basic electronics modules. It's a DELIDAC 1 and 2 for position sensitive detectors, and one process and accumulate data from one and two dimensional position sensitive detectors. And another from an array of point detectors. The array is possible altogether. It's 240 independent channels to put on this scalable system. And all parameters of the modules are programmed. A new system allow to work with histogram mode and in the mode of accumulating of raw data, so called in our case it's list mode, with subsequent offline processing. It's very important for special Fourier techniques and for our instruments. Here is presented these two boards, two types of boards. Both of them is a NIM standard create, but we take in from the NIM standard, it's only the power supply. The most, the main connection is optic, fiber optics, and connection to the personal computers. And here is the blocks, it's, as I said already, a data acquisition system, multi-point detectors. It's scalable, it's 32 independent channels from one block, and it's increasing amount of them up to 9, 8, and possible to put all together 240 independent channels. Development of instrument software, Sonics Plus, as I would like to say that in all of our spectrometers, which is in operation, it's included in the user program, we installed our self-made Sonics software, but for sure it depends on the diffractometers with specific modules. Among the most important activities in software development for these 3 years is development of new components for controlling equipment, because it's new drivers is necessary to install and to put in operation because of new equipment for different type of diffractometers. It's implementation of basic set of widgets for improving programs at graphical user interfaces, development of new versions of command library for especially for reflectometers, and the improved version of WebSonics. It's additional things, additional software that's possible to look, to take care of instrument outside of the experimental beam, outside to the experimental hall, from the office or from the home. So it's 8 spectrometers are now have been connected to this service, and it's we including practically each year additional spectrometers to this program. And for sure we were involved in computing infrastructure of our laboratory. During this time we outdated network switches in the buildings of laboratory have been changed to 1 gigabit per second for all users and users in the offices. The centralized network data storage was organized, so now it's possible to automatically transfer data from the control computer of the instrument to the file server during the experiments. And the storage of capacity now is enough to work with instruments. In the future 3 years, we are planning to increase the amount of data storage. Now I'll go to a project which have been opened for in this team. It's a development of PTH sample environment system for diffractometer 10-12 at Iber 2 reactor. I would like to remind that this diffractometer is a neutron diffractometer magnetometer for investigation of microsamples at high pressure. And this new pioneering sample environment system is a system that provides simultaneously, as I said already, the magnetic field up to 4 Tesla, temperature in the range from 3 up to 300 Kelvin. And it's possible to install the pressure cell inside, so it's possible to put 15 gigapascal to the macro sample. It's important things that this type of sample environment is not with liquid helium. It's with a cryogenic system which is allowed to work without liquid helium as helium, let's say dry cryostats. Here is a 3D model of horizontal cryostats. It's important things because it's horizontal in our case because of the detector system, ring of the detector system are in the vertical position. So this cryostat with the sample inside, you have to move to the neutron beam, and reflection or scattering neutrons have to pass through the special windows from 90 degrees from here's in vials and to 45 degrees of the second ring of the detectors. The map of magnetic field, it's a calculated one. It's 2 by 2 centimeters. It's practically the uniform. It's give us 4.4 Teslas, and cryostats, some parameters is here. It's the main fields. It's practically it's two cryostats inside one. One of for cooling down the superconducting tape, and another one to cooling down the envial. We purchased the necessary equipment during this time, the tape of superconductor from Russian suppliers, and we made the pancake, double pancake, two coils of magnet. We purchased the current supply. We made cryostat itself, and here is already installation, a process of installation of two coils of a magnet and this cryostat with vacuum jackets. And the first result is here on the temperature for sure, the cooling process, and it was in February this year, and we saw that the temperature on the magnet is below 20K. It's a very nice result. And here are some result measurements we made also in February on putting the current inside, and we saw that the magnet constant is 0.0154. For a Tesla per ampere, and if we multiply this factor for 300, it will be the same parameters which is planning to be. But we achieved only field right now magnitude of 1.5 Tesla in this first test. But after some looking on what is going on and making the new runs of this sample inverter system already in April, we saw that we were able to put only 30 ampere. So it's 0.5 Teslas. And started to think what happened. We open the whole cryostat and have a look to the tape. And saw that this supplier, we saw the exfoliation of outer layers of the tape. And now we saw that one of the coil is better with the first supply of the tape. It was two different times was supplied the first part of this tape, and after half a year the second part of this tape. We saw that the first type tape was much better than the second one. And now we put in only one coil and looking at what is going on. That is why we are asking to pack to extend the project for next 3 years, because we don't know what will be the parameters, and maybe it's necessary to find in our suppliers. It's not too many of them in the world. It's Japan, one supplier, one from United States, and one here in Russia. The whole procedure which is necessary to be made on rules of the joint institute we made to purchase this band, but tape, but we think that it's maybe it it's not in very good condition. So we will see. By the way, we in these 3 years, each year we are making the special courses, the special school for our young scientists and students from different institutions from joint from the country members of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, and each year is practically 100 of such students came to us, and the school names Instrument and Methods of Experimental Nuclear Physics, Electronics and Automatics of Experimental Facilities. And that is one of the reasons why when we were in 2014, we've got about 50 staff members and only 14 young scientists. Right now, at 2017, we have practically the same number of staff members, but already 22 young specialists in our department. So in the time, for sure, we made a publication and making the talks on the conferences. Three dissertation, two PhD was prepared, and one doctor dissertation was defended on these 3 years on a work which have been done. A general second prize on methodological work have been received with our colleagues. We had contracts with IAEA, with contracts with institutes from Russian Federation institutions and Czech Republic, and for sure grants of pre-importation for general country member states. Now I will go on to proposal for extension of the theme, which I have shown here for next 3 years. The new plans here, the main direction will be the same, but the tasks on this direction for sure will be a new one. On cold moderator development, for example, we should start the development control and automatization system for this new cold moderator, and we should put an operation to study radiation resistance of different materials, which is necessary for our reactor, for different neutron sources, even for ESS project. The development and study of working condition of loading machine for cold moderator, new cold moderator, and as material I already said, the cryogenics it's new installation, and we should take care about this project, development and continuous flow cryostats of closed cycle cryocoils for experiment. It's a sample environmental system on our instruments. We should take care about them and make a new one. Development and implementation of new equipment, as well as vacuum technique for our neutron guides. It should be modernized time to time. Calculation and simulation of spectrometers for, that means, development and application of new models of ITES program software packages. Detectors and electronics, it may be the main field for new for next 3 years for us, because it's a plenty of work. We had we have now the wonderful neutron source. We are putting the cold neutron source on the Iberto reactor, but our instrument, and we modernized to some of instruments, the neutron guide systems, chopper systems, but with detectors still not up to date. So we should go further on increasing of surface of active surface of the detector. And here's plans for different instruments, important tasks for to upgrade the instruments. The control system and activation mechanism and sample environmental system also have to be modernized. We should finish to change the temperature controllers to Lakeshore, which have already started, and that show the good results. The modernization of control system for choppers, so the beam number 11 and 13. Software, for sure, we should maintain and development of software package Sonics Plus at the request of users, and development of concept of central storage organization of the data and its implementation for whole instruments, and some work for local area network, which is important for data transfer. We've got a collaboration, it's a bilateral collaboration of different institutions from the country member states, and not only from country member states, it's shown here. And the budgeting here, the funding, is already in 7-year plan of gender development from 2017 to 2023. And here the total number for our direction is presented here. And for sure, we are planning to have additional financial sources from grants of plenipotentiaries and from Russian Federation and contracts from IAEA agency. Now, one of the tasks was in detector techniques is development of a wide aperture backscattering detector for high resolution Fourier diffractometer. The high resolution Fourier diffractometer is installed on beam number 5 here. And you might remember that the former time, last 2 years, the neutron guide and Fourier chopper was changed, and that gave to the instrument for high resolution the gain of a factor of 2.5, and for low resolution more than 10 on the same instrument with this upgrade. But this diffractometer itself started operation in the 90s, and it's a good resolution, and it's mainly intended for this type of instruments, but the detector system, which especially backscattering detector, is not up to date. And here's presented the scheme of the instrument itself. One of the main detector system is here, backscattering detector, existing one, but its disadvantages of this detector is the current solid angle less than 0.2 steradians, and it was made from a time from lithium glasses, which is very sensitive to gamma background. And if we compare these instruments with wonderful resolution with another type of with another diffractometer, time of flight diffractometer, for example, PowerGen from SNS with the same resolution, but due to the large zincum sulfide based detector with solid angle 1.5 steradian on this diffractometer with low background, on that instrument we would have 10 times better statistic on the spectrum from the same sample measured at our diffractometer. So it's one of the reasons which necessary to change this detector. And now we made some works on to liberate this type of detectors. It's the same technique which we have already know how to use. It's a scintillation based screen. This one we know how to manipulate with it, how to work with it, how to calculate. It's also the time focusing surface, and we're proposing to have altogether 2 steradians such as detectors with 2 meters on diameters, separated to different independent detectors. So altogether, a detector consists of 217 independent elements, and this solid angle will increase by a factor of 12.5. So it will be even better than that instrument which I show you on SNS case. Here is presented the first preliminary technical view of it, how the surfaces will be installed. It will be rings here, and for sure it's not here is not presented the support of these rings. And if we would look to these rings, the surface will be in that it will be installed each of these screen on the angle to the neutrons, and due to this angle, the thickness, effective thickness, will be different from ring to ring. And if we'll have only one layers of this scintillator, we will have practically here 0.4 efficiency, and maximum is for outer detector is 0.8. But if we'll use two slides of these scintillations screen, we will have practically a wonderful results from 0.6 and here up to slightly less than 100. An element of a scintillator screen is white plate here, and the special glued fiber optics to collect the light and to put them to photomultipliers. It's dependent on the space-time focusing. And here is a 3D presentation of these large aperture detectors. And it's here is a table that shows that the geometric contribution to the total resolution of diffractometer is less than the resolution itself of the spectrometer. So from this point of view, this scintillation 0.45 millimeter screen is very nice for our case. And it's also utilized not only in our reactor, it's also utilized in ICES and in other sources. Here is a network schedule of the project, and we're thinking that we will be able on the first year, next year, half of the year, to develop a technical design, the complete of this backscattering detector. Then we should manufacture some additional supporting systems to produce such type of detectors, purchase necessary equipment, consumables, construction of data acquisition system, which the rate of these detectors of data transfer will be higher than current one. We should purchase the power supply for these photomultipliers, manufacture detector frames and elements of the detectors, assembling the first section of the detectors on the third year, and trying to test the first section on laboratory conditions, and trying to put them this first section or these 12 sections or to the reactor, to the neutron, this neutron instrument. The main materials and equipment which we are planning to use here is photomultipliers. We are planning to use Hamamatsu 217, as I said, independent channels. The surface of the scintillation screens, it's more than 10 square meters. The approximate length of fiber optics is 36 kilometers for these detectors. Tuning crates, preamplifiers should be installed for each of the channel. We should manufacture main construction elements and for sure consumables which are necessary to our case. We are planning to use the same multi-point detectors, but we've changed from USB 2 to USB 3 interface because it's faster. The main units on equipment, resources, and financing sources for it's inside our theme, and we're planning to purchase the whole main equipment, dependent on the year. For sure, the total price of the detector will be slightly more than $800,000. The working group exists already. The project leader, a couple of scientists, six engineers, two workers and some students, which is two of them is already in our case, and we plan to have additional students from the university, from the Russia, and from outside. So from this point of view, it seems that we are able to produce such a detector. And at the end, I would like to ask the PAC members to extend the theme itself, the project which I show the results which we received up to now, and open the new project with white aperture backscattering detector, and in the same theme of our work which is shown here. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for this presentation or presentations, if you like, and also for having observed the time. Right now we have, as I told you, three reviewers. The first will be Professor Richard Hall-Wilton, and also I've of course read your report, and I know that the final conclusion was positive. However, I felt that there were some points which you may have criticized. So may I ask you to point out especially those and not just repeating the overall content of your review. Thanks.
Okay, yes. So I went through the project and I essentially gave it a project review like we do at ESS. Okay. I mean, I think, first of all, looking at the scientific impact, the increase of basically the coverage by more than order of magnitude, I think this is something which you should be aspired to in an upgrade, okay, and therefore this is the right thing. In addition, having this extra coverage gives you extra capability, and it is clear that the gamma neutron discrimination will become a lot better. I think one of the things I mentioned is it's not exactly clear how much better, but that I think in itself will be more than order of magnitude. And it's one of the things I recommended looked at during the progression of the project to try and maximize that. I think it's also a good idea to focus on something that is a strength and really make that as good as possible. In terms of feasibility, I think the project is feasible. I think the expertise exists to be able to carry it out, and that's a key factor. I went through a series of basically looking at where the risks were, that basically to provide a set of suggested mitigation whilst the project went on, so to make sure that you know that it's closely followed. I think the resources are requested are modest but reasonable. Okay, so you know, I don't think they're too much. I think it is sufficient to do it, but it needs close watching, of course. And the schedule as well is reasonable as long as the project can start at the beginning of the project. So, yeah. So to summarize up with the risks, I think I went through what they all are and there. But I think in summary, I would say that they are moderate and they're under control. So. So overall, I think there's also an opportunity from this to actually sort of train people and get further interest from it. Summarizing off, I do strongly recommend and support the implementation of the project. So.
Thank you very much. The next review comes from Professor Kulikov. And he's here, I think. Is he? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So please.
I think that proposal to construct a new detector for rear hydrogen diffractometer is very important for the laboratory and for the institute because it helps to attract more physicists and to use more efficiently the beam time. And I fully support this proposal. The only remark was concerning the budget. Of course, the expenses are reasonable, but as far as I know, administration usually prefer to have more equal financing from year to year. And to my opinion, this could be updated somehow. So my recommendation is to give full approval to this project.
Thank you very much. And the third review comes from Professor Kurbakov, who is not present, and that's why it will be presented by Oleg.
Yes, the third referee report from PNPI, Kurchatov Institute in Gatchina. So, and the referee report starts from the point of pointing that this HRD setup is operating more than 20 years successfully. But however, in order to remain at the present level, this renovation, let's say, is necessary, and essential modernization of the diffractometer is quite urgent task. It is also mentioned that the scientific significance of the project is beyond any doubt. That is meaning of opinion of the reviewer. Next, referee mentioned some benefits of new detector that is suggested for elaboration within the next years. And the remaining part of the referee report is the evaluation of such points like human resources, budgetary resources, and some other things that are necessary for realization of this project. And all these points are evaluated as in a positive way by this referee. We didn't find any remark in this report as well, so we can consider this report also as a positive.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So all in all, all referee reports were positive. As far as I understand, Richard, what you may have criticized, that's something. You remember we have a certain scheme how proposals should be prepared, and strictly speaking, none of the proposals have followed this scheme. For example, it was expected that we will have a full SWOT analysis, and when you asked for the possible risks that would have been part of this SWOT analysis, which didn't exist here, but admittedly also not on the other proposals. Maybe we should not take it so seriously, but of course we should encourage all proposals to follow as much as possible those schemes. Anyway, the proposal and the review are now open for questions and discussion. So the floor is yours. Professor Alexeyev.
Thank you. Listening to your report, I come to some simple question. This concerns the magnetic field, the cryostat with magnetic field for sample environment. If you have the pulsed source, 5 Hertz repetition rate, it seems that advanced facilities could be using the pulsed magnetic field. It will allow to get at least order of magnitude higher field and provide the unique case of neutron source with fields up to 50 Tesla maybe and so on. So did you think about that?
We thought about it, but you see this project of magnetic field and producing the device from this magnetic field, it's a new thing for us. And we should follow step by step. And if this project will succeed, and we hope to it. We are thinking about the new stage for it, for pulsed magnetic field for sure. But we learn by building.
Much further questions, comments, Professor Itkis.
Sergey, tell me, please, the program of a cryogenic moderator, when they will finish? In what year?
Yeah, we're expecting it will be 2023, third one. Yeah, 23, yeah. We are planning to start...
For
three beam lines. Three beam lines.
Three directions.
Yes, Boris, please.
Another question to Toby. Toby, you stressed strongly in your speech last session the necessity in innovation of instruments. Do you find that this activity is directed to the real up-to-date instrumentation, or it still will have to suffer from some low level? What was your opinion? Is it a movement in the right direction, or
it's a movement in the right direction? That's for sure. I mean, we saw in this morning that getting two orders of magnitude on a reflectometer. We're getting an order of magnitude on from this detector upgrade. I mean, it's absolutely the right direction in which to move. I do have a general, I guess it's a lack of understanding of my part about how the proposals for project work, because I thought that sort of as part of the 7-year plan, there was a big upgrade program which was presented, and I'm sort of, I guess I feel a little bit surprised that we're reviewing some of the things that we reviewed 2 years ago. It should be the business of a facility to be constantly upgrading, and that should be part of its underlying budget structure. Yes, I think this is the right thing to be doing. I mean, I wholeheartedly support investing in the instrumentation like this. Absolutely everything. I mean, the sort of instrument control, instrument software to make it easier for users, all of these things are things which we're doing on our instruments as well.
Well, okay. Are you happy with it? Right. Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Further comments, questions? Pavel, once again.
I'm sorry, but what is your address to Toby with your question? But I think I need to make some important for me supplementation to his answer, because if you take into account the landscape of experimental technique of large facilities in the world, we see that the neutrons and X-ray facilities like synchrotrons are strongly correlated in the kind of physics which is studied. Therefore, from this point of view, we should analyze always when we go forward in our development how they will complement one another and how they will compete with one another. From this point of view, as I believe, the most strong point of neutron scattering for condensed matter physics is magnetic neutron scattering, in the sense of diffraction and most strongly in the sense of spectroscopy. Therefore, this factor also should be taken, from my point of view, into consideration when we analyze the instrumentation of the neutron sources. In this sense, it would be very nice if scientists here put attention to the problem of improvement or optimization of the or analysis of the state of art with inelastic scattering and possibilities to improve the situation, to get the best what can be done for the spectrometers for neutron spectroscopy here. There are two instruments now. They clearly need a modernization, but how to modernize it, this is a question I think of maybe international workshop or something like this.
Thank you. Can you comment on this, Sergei?
Yeah, I know that in autumn this year will be such kind of conference, such type of workshop from when users will come to our case. It's made by Department of Denis Kozlenko, and I think one of the questions on that conference will be exactly the same that Dr. Alexeyev now asking us. And that is, it also depends not only that the difference between the synchrotron and neutrons, but also depends on the needs of the users. If we need such type of instruments to be upgraded, for sure we should follow these needs and to find resources for it. That's the answer.
Yeah, thank so you. I would like to, sorry.
Any further remarks? Yeah, sorry, Toby, yeah.
Yes, I mean, As I said, I do feel some sort of confusion in terms of how the sort of looking at all of these projects for IBR, because we had a discussion. I remember, I think it was about a year and a half ago on spectroscopy. Exactly, and there were a lot of upgrades and ideas put forward as part of that. What I don't have is a sense of perspective of how these projects sort of marry in within that 7-year plan. For instance, the project on a system for neutron operando monitoring for diagnostics of materials, which we discuss, which we had a presentation of for this morning. you know, we hear about the project. There are some questions which Professor Fuss raised, for example. But further, I don't understand the wider environment, which is, if we approve that, then we are implicitly not going to be approving money for other activities. And that is something which I can't see. I can't see what it is that we're doing to other developments in the facility and other projects if we approve particular projects. I mean, I completely agree with Professor Alexeyev about the importance of spectroscopy, and I think we also have to be careful of that if you say that the facility should be taking a leadership position in the sense that saying how would you like to improve our spectrometers is maybe not enough. What you should say is, if we made this investment, would we get new users in, not asking just our existing users? There has to be an element of leadership. And all of this was, I think, discussed as part of the seven-year plan. And I have this sort of feeling of a lack of perspective. But within the framework of this particular project, it seems to me that it is a very worthwhile thing, and it should undeniably go ahead.
Concerning
the to ask the Valery Shvetsov to say a couple of words concerning the future program of Frank Laboratory to complete the investigation in condensed matter physics with synchrotron radiation, high energy photons. Maybe some words.
Yes, Professor Shvetsov.
Sorry, maybe I didn't understand about the completion of the program. So to complete all the research, what means to complete and to close the direction.
Yeah, I think these aspects they do not belong to the individual proposals. They belong to the general discussion much more. So this is actually our responsibility as PAC, not the responsibility of the individual proposers, who, by the way, made an excellent proposal. So, any further questions and comments? If not, then let me thank you once again.
Thank you.
And with this, we will leave neutrons, and the next proposal, the subject of the next proposal is multimodal platform for Raman and nonlinear optical microscopy and microspectroscopy for condensed matter studies, and it will be presented by Professor Arzumayan.
Okay.
So the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everybody. You see the title of my presentation consisting of two major parts. The first part is my report on the concluding team. And the second part is the proposal for opening a new team, modern approaches and developments in Raman microspectroscopy and photoluminescence for condensed matter studies. For the period of 2018-2020, and the team leaders are proposed to be Grigory Arzumanyan and Norbert Cherka. This is the contents of my talk, but I have to start from your previous recommendation, from the recommendation of the PAC, about the place of Raman spectroscopy and microscopy among other microspectroscopic methods. And then I will pass to my report on the activities for the last 3 years. And the last part is deals with the proposal on the opening of a new team and the following project: ultrasensitive CCARS microspectroscopy and luminescence core shell nanostructures. So Raman spectroscopy is a kind of spectroscopy method based on electromagnetic radiation interaction with matter. Professor Raman for this discovery was awarded Nobel Prize in 1930, and since its discovery, Raman spectroscopy and microscopy occupied its own and stable niche in the scale of the spectroscopic methods due to its intrinsic specificities classified by spectroscopic technique, typical wavelength range, type of energy transfer, type of quantum transition. So on this slide, you can see in more details the common spectroscopic methods. starting from the X-ray, mass bar spectroscopy, gamma ray, X-ray, and coming to the photoluminescence. I can't go into details, I don't have for that, but I would like to say some more thing about the Raman spectroscopy, which is very complementary method with the infrared spectroscopy, because both of them are molecular vibrational spectroscopy. This is the specific distinguishing character of the Raman spectroscopy. Though there are some differences between the Raman scattering, which is an inelastic scattering of incident radiation on molecular vibration, though the infrared is the light absorption spectroscopy. I would like to say that Raman spectrum is very individual, is very unique, relative to each individual molecule, and therefore often you can hear that Raman scattering is also known as a fingerprint spectroscopy, providing chemical identification of analyte molecules. And I would like to say that though it is complementary with infrared spectroscopy, there are some advantages of the Raman spectroscopy. You can see them on the slide. And I would like to say a few words, of course, not only about the Raman spectroscopy, but also about the Raman microscopy. We are doing a large activity on this. It's a very powerful tool for generating selective chemical image. It's really so, and I will show you our results. And often Raman microscopy is compared with the fluorescent microscopy, which is also a powerful tool. But I would like to say here that Raman has a remarkable advantage over it also, not of photobleaching of fluorophores, though because the Raman spectroscopy and microscopy is a label-free spectroscopic method. To my opinion, the place of the Raman spectroscopy among the other spectroscopic methods could be determined not only by its spectroscopic characteristics, but also with its broad, very broad applications. Some of the key applications you can see on the slide, life sciences, material sciences, and so on. But frankly speaking, you can apply this Raman spectroscopy method anywhere where you need non-destructive chemical analysis and imaging. A kind of evidence that Raman spectroscopy is going to be more and more popular and demanded method at the Joint Institute, I would like to demonstrate you this slide, showing that at present time we have four Raman spectrometers at GINAR. Two of them are at FLMP and two of them are at GINAR's Nano Center. And let me remind you that a few years ago we didn't have even one Raman spectrometer at the Joint Institute. So let me pass to my report on the team activities consisting of these four issues. But first of all, let me remind you some abbreviation used in my presentation. The main ones are the CARS and the SERS. You see the abbreviation here. Both of them are enhanced Raman spectroscopic methods. And the third important position is the so-called CCARS, spectroscopy surface enhanced CARS, which is the combined method of the first two ones. And I would like to say that this CCARS spectroscopy is very poorly studied at present time, and it will be in the focus of our new project. I have to say a few words about the upgrade program, which we have realized in 2015. I will not stop here in detail, so on the left part, on the right part of the slide, you can see the main options that we added to our optical platform. The details you can't see on the top of this slide. But I would like to pay your attention on the following, that as a result of this upgrade program, today FLMP's optical platform on the basis of our CARS microscope is the only, in its uniqueness, Raman and photoluminescence multimodal facility in Russia and CIS countries by characteristics and functionality, and it is also competitive at the world level. I can assure you that it is not only my personal opinion, this is the opinion of many of our partners and visitors who are coming to our lab to do some measurements or studies on our CARS microscope. And this upgrade program brought its results. Here you see the main expected results by the team completion. I will not read them in details. They deal with the polarized cars, with the second harmonic generation imaging, with the CERS activities, photoluminescence and upconversion luminescence studies in phosphors activated with rare earth elements, and plasmonic and upconversion luminescence enhancement as a background for the further research in the coming 3 years. Just after the completion of the upgrade program, we started our studies on the highly sensitive and contrast cars and second harmonic generation imaging of membrane protein crystals. If you remember, last year I had progress report and show you in detail the line of these pictures. So let me go through them quickly. Here you can see the comparison between the polarization sensitive CARS image of the bacterial rhodopsin crystal and a spontaneous Raman imaging. The difference is obvious. Here you can see some panoramic chemical image of large size and medium size bacterial rhodopsin crystals in two options, in polarized CARS and sonic. Sonic is the same as the second harmonic generation, just for the chiral crystals it is called sonic. And what is very important, you can see here the small size starting from 5 micrometer up to sub-micron dimensions crystals, which are identified and detected by our microspectrometer. We have found or revealed some other peculiarities of the polarization-sensitive CARS, which we found out that it has some advantages over the second harmonic generation. And also we did 3D sectioning, very nice picture of these crystals, showing that in the CARS option you have more complete image of the crystals, though in the case of the sonic, the surrounding boundary rim is not detected. Okay, you have to change the battery here. So let me give you just a summary. A new extremely sensitive and contrast approach of the imaging of membrane protein crystals based on polarization sensitive microscopy was demonstrated and described with a high spatial resolution and high contrast chemical images of crystals of bacterial rhodopsin and lysozyme were obtained in large scale, large range of scales from 100 micrometer to sub-micron sizes. And this is a large study. It was published in the Journal of American Chemical Society with a high impact factor. And I'm also proud to say that this study was included in the topmost scientific results obtained in 2016 at the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. We are really proud of that because we achieved this just on the fourth year of our activities in the sphere of Raman spectroscopy. Now our key results in the surface enhanced Raman scattering. It's a technique for the to detect extremely small quantities of molecules by determining, of course, their characteristic Raman signal. Again, I will not stop on the details. I showed them this slide last year. This is our surface CERS active template based on porous silicon with immersion plating of silver nanoparticles. And we focused our studies on the biological molecules, on the lipids in this case. And you can see that we achieved the detection limit down to 10 to minus 12, this one C mol. It's a very nice result. It corresponds to the thousands of molecules. And the second key results on CERS deals with the DNA of the herring sperm DNA. The most promising results here is in the detection of DNA molecules at very low concentrations, 10 to minus 10 mol. And to our knowledge, detection of such a small amount of DNA has not been reported elsewhere. all these results are published in peer review journals. Now let me pass to the photoluminescence study, and I would like to start briefly with the question, why we are doing this. We are doing this not only to get some fundamental knowledge, definitely we are getting it, but not only for that. Those who are familiar with Raman, they know that Raman spectrum is always accompanied by luminescence. And if you are doing your study not only with Raman spectrum, but also with luminescence, then you can go better and deeper in understanding and analyzing the Raman spectrum. And one more point also, we have a strategic plan in the coming 3 years to make a concept, to develop a concept of a united program on imaging, including Raman spectroscopy, maybe in the CARS option, and upconversion luminescence imaging. We are already succeeded in this, and I will show you some results which we obtained in the last part of my presentation. Now about some results. We completed our studies on novel transparent oxyfluoride glasses and glass ceramics. We studied in details their spectral and structural properties, including the XRD, small angle neutron scattering, electron microscopy. We detected the upconversion luminescence spectrum, starting from blue up to near infrared range. And we described the all mechanisms, the all transitions, which correspond to these bands. And eventually we got a very nice result, so, which we put in the basis of our patent, further future patent. We got an enhancement factor for the glass ceramic samples for the green band 25 enhancement and about 150 enhancement factor for the red band of the upconversion luminescence emission in the erbium ions doped in these oxyfluoride matrices. So we explained all these mechanisms in details, and I would like to say that we have a number of publications in Journal of Optical Materials and other journals. We got already a patent of the Russian Federation on that result, and we presented these results in many conferences international. The other page of our studies in photoluminescence deals with the zinc oxide nanocrystals coated with europium and ytterbium ions. Again, we studied their structural characteristics, the absorption spectra. I will not go into details. Maybe a little more details about the spectroscopic studies. We have done it for three different temperature, room temperature, liquid nitrogen and liquid helium. The whole results are concentrated on this and on the next slide. And I will stress your pay your attention on the next slide, because here we revealed a number of temperature regularities upon the heat treatment in getting the glass ceramics phase for three different temperatures: room liquid nitrogen and liquid helium. But the most importantly for us, for the first time in glass ceramics, we detected a band of free excitons luminescence in the region of 365-380 nanometers, and it was absorbed in a wide range of measurement temperature from room to liquid helium, and the band is very intensive. This can be applied in further in shortwave lasers technique, in optoelectronics, and so on. We also measured for the first time the upconversion luminescence and created the ECI color diagram and found out the dominant wavelength approximately at 600 nanometer. This study was also published in Journal of Optical Materials. You can see the main results here. And as I told you, this point we investigated for the first time. So let me continue report on the team activities. CARS microscope as user-friendly facility, our first experience. I will tell about three external users from Belarus, United Kingdom, and Russia. I will give just one single example of activities here and here. And as for the Russia, towards CCARS modality, it is the core of our future project. It's well known that Raman spectroscopy and microscopy can be used as a diagnostic tool. And we have cooperation with the Institute of Physiology of the Republic of Belarus. And we compared the Raman spectra of the stem cells and C6 glioma cells from rat brain. And we revealed a striking similarity of the scattering spectra between the stem cells and the glioma cells. It is very unusual, probably it's the first time, because usually when you are doing the Raman diagnostic, you can see the differences between the normal cells and the cancer cells. But in our case, with a very high spectral precision, 1 centimeter just, inverse centimeter, of course, we found the striking similarity. This study was already published in the Journal of Stem Cells and Regenerative Therapy. In the conclusion of this article, we wrote that this phenomenon helps to understand the difficulty encountered by immune defense system in tumor-bearing organisms, showing one of the ways for tumor cells to escape from protective activity of immune cells. And our results also show potential pitfalls in the cancer diagnostics. So we are going to continue these studies. Some interesting results we obtained also in our Raman studies of meteorites, Murchison and Polaranova meteorites. Here you can see we result lonsalite peak in the Raman spectra. Lonsalite is a badly deformed diamond. So let me go ahead. So we also studies diatoms and so on. We are paying a large attention to the student program. Some details are here, but always in our small structure, we have young students. Here you can see the list of our main publications and conferences. And the figures are on the screen. So let me pass now and say a few words about the project proposed for the next 3 years, ultra-sensitive CCARS microspectroscopy. CCARS will provide ultra-sensitive, highly contrast and selective method for condensed matter studies at extremely low concentration of analyte molecules down to a single molecule detection level. I would like to say that this is the modern, most challenging point in the Raman spectroscopy. It is seen also from the quotations of the meeting of a panel of experts regarding the Raman spectroscopy. They are all applying to the CARS, CERS, CCARS microscopy, biological imaging, investigating individual molecules. I will skip this one. And a few words about our background in CCARS. We probed two analyte molecules, AXIDS, DTMB, and MPBR, measured their Raman spectrum. And what is more important, we got the first CCARS intensity mapping here with a very high contrast, better than 1.5, 10 to the 4. And the background is almost zero. It's a very nice result. We got it few months ago, and we presented it to the international conference 2-3 months earlier in April in Germany. And this is the really the first CCARS experiment in Russia. Nobody before has been done it. And I would like to here to say thanks to our partners, especially from the Prokhorov General Institute of Russian Academy of Sciences. Core-shell nanostructures are very promising structure for upconversion luminescence. A number of advantages are listed here. I will pay your attention only on the first one, diverse chemical composition, multifunctionality in comparison with the common upconversion nanoparticles. We decided to stop our choice on the sodium, yttrium, fluorine core nanoparticles upconversion with different rare earth elements in the core, and for the shell we will take silicon oxides, silver and gold nanoparticles, porphyrins, and so on. And we also have a good present background here. We have the enhancement of the upconversion luminescence on these plasmon surfaces. The factor of the enhancement is about 200 in the so-called hotspots. And as I told you, we are going to develop a united imaging platform. From one side, it will be the Raman spectra, Raman microscopy, and upconversion luminescence. You can see here the USL image of cotton fibers with a good resolution. And for comparison, you can see here the CARS image of cyanobacteria. Both of them are of very high contrast. And we consider that we are ready to develop this concept on our platform. I will not stop here. Maybe better to stop a little bit here. Expected main results. So the point three, reproducible detection of organic single unit molecules, Raman scattering spectra with CERS and CCARS. Simulation, theoretical model, then study of core shell upconversion phosphors, operation of unified optical platform for complementary bioimaging in two options, Raman microspectroscopy and upconversion luminescence. And also with Belarus Republic, we are going to continue the study of these stem cells and comparing them with the glioma cells. So data on similarities and differences and recommendations. Here you can see the scheduled proposal for the 3 years. Terms of the implementation, structure sector of Raman spectroscopy at FLMP. We have many young scientists, 7 out of 11. And the total estimated cost for the team implementation, you can see for these 3 years, it is in accordance with the Jenner 7-year plan. So this is the international collaboration, Armenia, Belarus, Bulgaria, Germany, Latvia, Poland, Russia, Slovakia, Ukraine, and United Kingdom. My summary is very short. We are ready to start and ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this clear presentation. We have 3 reviewers, the first being Professor Dubnichko, who is present. So please, Martina, it's your turn.
Okay, thank you. So I start with the proposed new team and project are based on the previous achievements accumulated on the multimodal optical platform, which is successfully operating and Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics. The project is original, it's the first what I want to note, and the essential goals are consistent with results from the previous scientific work. The scientific work which were completed successfully. Something about appropriateness of the request funding and problem to resolve or solve. The proposal seems to be an attractive and realistic, showing model of investigation and advance of the project will resolve the aims of proposal. The scientific and technical impact of this research is on the very good level, and the request funding in realistic for estimating budget. Something about technical ability to implement the project within the stated periods. The report demonstrated a certain background already achieved in this group for the successful implementation of the new team in the coming 3 years. The management plan and stated periods are adequate and practicable. Something about availability of the human resource of GINR and cooperative institutions, the potential for the innovations versus risk levels of this project are correlated on the team experiences of all included organization and institutions. These research results from GINR will be also making the better use of application therapeutic facilities to Russia, and expected results could reach the worldwide levels. The management include clear overall responsibility for the activities, including a problem-solving mechanism in the event of assigned experiments between the partners which are in this project. Then I conclude the strengths and weaknesses, but I will not read them. And it could be concluded that this proposal or take into account this project is in scoring scale excellent level and to be recommended for opening and funding in coming 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martina. As far as I understand, the other two reviewers are not present, so both reviews will be presented by Oleg. So please.
Yes, the second review is presented by the correspondent member of National Academy of Science of Belarus, Professor Fedosyuk. In the first part of the RIFI report, he's mentioned the importance and typicality, let's say, of CAR spectroscopy and SER spectroscopy. Then it points out the importance of use of demonstration of the capacity of this method with nanoparticles that are mentioned actually in the report. And in conclusion, there are two important points are mentioned, that this is a cooperation with some research centers of member states, in particular some Belarusian scientists in this field. And the second important point, again, he stressed the selection of the concrete nanoparticles that are mentioned here, that actually this is important for demonstration of this method. I mean, how does it work? Actually, this referee report is quite positive again. And the second referee report is presented by Professor Smirnov. He is from Prokhorov General Physics Institute of Russian Academy of Sciences. Actually, there is a comparison between several methods that are used between SERS, CARS, and TERS methods, and Refir mentioned some benefits of the methods presented here. It is also mentioned that there is not too much papers and works in world literature on this field, and this is one of the, let's say, considered the new direction, as suggested by Referee. So, and it is also mentioned that is this project and them is well equipped with personnel and something like technical solution, and we also can accept this referee, consider this referee report as a positive one. No critical remarks, etc., are mentioned here.
Thank you very much. So now the floor is open for questions, comments, both to the presenter and also to the viewers. Let me raise a question by myself. Actually, you seem to use Raman spectroscopy first of all as a fingerprint method. Nevertheless, nowadays, in terms of DFT, so density functional theory calculation, all kinds of vibrational spectroscopic modes can be calculated with a surprisingly good quality, so both Raman, infrared, nuclear resonant vibration spectroscopy, and so on and so on. Do you have also such objectives in your project to connect it more sharply to the microstructure of the molecules?
The wider structure, the wider, you say the wider structure of molecules? Or?
Yeah, I mean, density functional theory is a wonderful tool to just to calculate those spectra. And like, for example, in the pharma industry, how they use NMR, they are just calculating NMR spectra and identify the molecules, whether they were those molecules or not by these. Nowadays, it's also possible with vibrational spectroscopy. So do you have such objectives in your...
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. It's a very nice question. So when we will come closer to the situation, when we will start to detect in a reproducible and reliable way the single molecules, at that time, we are going to start what you say. I have in my expected results such a point close to the one you said. We are going to make simulations and theoretical models on the one hand of this process, yes, for the single molecule in this CCARS option. And on the other hand, we are going, yes, to calculate these vibrational modes also. Though, frankly speaking, there is not such a big necessity of that because at present time there are many, many atlases where these vibrational modes are already calculated. But for some specific cases, maybe there is a sense to do it. So we have it in our plans, maybe on the second or maybe on the third year of our new project.
Thank you so much.
My question goes a bit along the same lines. So as far as I understand, you develop basically a method and which is applied to various fields in science according to users and so on. So my question is more, will you develop further spectroscopic methods and develop them into a group of methods applied to particular fields of sciences? Or is it Raman-based, because it was developed with Belarus or something like that? Or what is the overall perspective of that, that particular method within the context of, for instance, we discussed inelastic neutron scattering and other spectroscopic methods? And what is the main application in for scientific questions? Is it biology? Or is it, for instance, what you have shown, glass ceramics? This is completely different fields, so I didn't see the focus of your scientific interest, only the development of method.
Okay. I skip this slide, partially demonstrating the answer on your question. We are not going definitely to develop a new kind of spectroscopy. Because all these options, CARS, SERS, CCARS, TERS, they are all enhanced options of the Raman spectroscopy. But if I mentioned in the red the positions which we have already at present at our laboratory. The CCARS is not red, it's just something else. But the CCARS, is very poorly investigated all over the world. I can tell you, I have it in details in my written version of the report, that there are only four groups all over the world, two are in the United States and two are in Japan, that are doing this CCARS modality. It's not easy, really. It is not just a mechanical combination of the SERS and the CARS, though it is combination of these two options, but it's not mechanical combination. You have to pass a long way to do this CCARS in a proper way. So we are going to develop the enhanced option of the Raman microspectroscopy. This is the part on your question. And the second part is the main focus is single molecular detection for biomedical studies, really for biomedical studies, because as you see from my presentation, the majority of our results deals with biomolecules or biocrystals. And in generally speaking, RAM spectroscopy, especially CARS microscopy, is aimed for this study. I demonstrated you this slide. Let me come back fastly to it once more. Really, the life science is number first for Raman applications. And we are following this position, so making our enhanced Raman option CCARS for single molecule detection, as it is very important position for as a diagnostic tools for pharmaceutics and so on. Because there are one more sentence, please. And you see the Raman spectrum of single or unit molecules is differ from the assembles. It differs. And the diagnostics is based on the few molecules Raman spectrum, you see. If you want to find a diagnosis of diseases at the early stage, you have to measure few molecules, not an average one.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it makes a sense to go into much details. So I don't see any further questions. We have nevertheless used already 5 minutes of our coffee break, and as I'm afraid we should reconvene. It's 20 minutes. Okay, so we will be back at 4:25 p.m. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Да. Тебе передать.